All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. You'll have to excuse me, I'm just a little under the weather. It might be my allergies. You know, I said they were bad. They seem to have gotten worse, but we're going to roll through it anyway because I've got to give you Spawn. So here we are with the second part of Volume 8, and let's go ahead and get started so I can go ahead and get to bed. But not without giving you a story, of course. Knock, knock. Granny, may I come in? Of course, Al, anytime. And you don't need to knock. You're always welcome here. To tell you the truth, I'd like it if you visited more often. I hope that doesn't sound selfish.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry it's been so long since my last visit. I've been trying to put a few things in order, which is why I'm here, actually. Something is happening to me, and I can't seem to do anything about it. Things you can't even imagine are spinning out of control, and I can't stop it.
Now you listen to me, boy. The Lord burden us all with... Excuse me, we're going to try that one again, guys. Now you listen to me, boy. The Lord burdens us all... I swear to God I'll get this right. Now you listen to me, boy. The Lord burdens all of us with our own personal crosses. Some will seem a little heavier than others, but God knows how much each of us can bear. I told you before, Al, he picked you to be one of his angels for a reason. It's just that none of us, not even you who live with him in heaven, will ever understand the mysteries of his ways. Our part is just having faith. God will take care of the rest.
It's not that simple. At least not now. What's happening to me is putting others in danger, including you.
What are you saying?
I don't know if it's safe for me to keep visiting you.
No, don't you dare do that to me. I may be old, but I'm not stupid. I've sensed something has been gnawing away at you for quite some time, but don't you run away from that. You never ran when you were alive, so don't start now. This feeling, this premonition of doom, cast it aside. Don't abandon those who can help you. We all love you too much.
I have to leave. I'm sorry.
It's your inner demons, isn't it? You must conquer them, Al. With the Lord's help, if you ever want to find true peace.
Open wide.
Yeah.
That's all. You can get dressed now.
It appears that everything is in good working order. I just wish we didn't have to drag you in here every time.
But, just to make sure, I'm sending you to a specialist. He's a doctor who deals with neurological symptoms.
Why? What's wrong with me?
Nothing, I hope. But your fainting spell tells me that something went wrong. I just like to be certain I haven't overlooked anything.
Oh, now don't look so worried. The doctor will just run a few tests, possibly a CT scan, just to ease all our minds. I know you've been under a great deal of pressure lately, on top of that nasty cough you've had. But us medical geeks like to know why people black out for no reason. It happens to most people at least once in their lives. We just never know why.
What can I say? We're a curious lot, so I'll schedule an appointment.
Yeah, sure, if you think it's best.
That was real.
Out in the parking lot, Terry's chest begins to tighten as his mind swirls with fabricated images and thoughts. It triggers a slight coughing fit. He curses himself for not doing something earlier.
What's happening? God damn it, what's happening to me? This madness, I thought I'd get away from it, not have it follow me, not here. Not in Rat City. I wanted to be safe, but I can't. I'll never be free now. Never. It's me. I'm the one. It lives in me. Wanting to kill, to hurt everyone, just so I'll learn to be like it. Learn to hate everything.
Al, what have you done to yourself?
Also, those bats kind of reminiscent of Batman a little bit. You know how the Batcave always has bats and Al hangs around Rat City? Seems to be kind of a nod to the Dark Knight there.
But it was born in hell. My costume. I don't know how to fight that. It's too strong. I can't do it. Not anymore. I don't have anything left. They've stolen it all.
So do your worst. A prison he's built. His own personal asylum. He wouldn't do that.
I'm tired of fighting. It's all I've done my whole life. And look what I've got. Nothing. And no one.
The costume's got some kind of infection, making it erratic. Al doesn't know how to read the symptoms. And if he doesn't stop it from spreading, the symbiote will advance to Necro State 9 before it's ready for that level. Ow! Help me! Where's the opening? Gotta get in. Don't have time to wait. I still don't know how the old man got in, but he did. My God, Al! No! What a sap! Well, excuse me, we'll try this again. In another of the city's million shadows. What a sap! What a maroon! If Jason Wynn is the best example of despicable these humans can muster, then I could be king of this planet tomorrow. He's got the evilness, I'll give him that, but I'm able to knead him just too easily into whatever I want. Hero, scapegoat, assassin, politician, I've made him play them all. He doesn't even resist much, unlike you, my dear furry friend. At least you put up a fight for... Hmm? It takes a full 30 seconds for the signal to penetrate. Yes! Yes, yes, yes! This is perfect! Simmons is getting crapped on by his symbiote. I always did love those K-model units. Hee-hee, they're always so volatile. I mean, I knew something was up with Spawn in his uniform, but this? Even I couldn't have predicted it would happen this quick. Hee-hee-ho-ho! I'm telling you, little friend, this could save me months of groundwork. Just think, not having to fool around with Wynn or Fitzgerald or Blake, just straight to the motherlode. Bam, and Simmons has a one-way ticket back to hell. I could taste the victory now. Gulp. God. He was all I could think of then. As the costume thrashed about, trying to spill my guts on the ground, it was God I thought of. Why would he create all this? Why would he want to? Damn you, Malbolgia. It's like, excuse me. Damn you, Malbolgia. My anger at him was all I had left. The only distraction big enough to help me forget the pain. Even as the tumors grew and my gut spilled forth, it was anger at him that possessed me. God made Satan. Satan made hell. Hell made Malbolgia. Malbolgia made this costume. So it's from him, from God, that all this evil comes. It's his fault. Somehow he wanted or needed this. My logic made no sense. It didn't matter. It served the purpose until another distraction appeared. Al, fight it! Fight the pain! It's feeding off your emotions! Cagliostro, the Count, he calls himself, always appears out of nowhere like some frickin' hoodoo man. He knows things. Stuff he shouldn't know the first... He knows things. Stuff he shouldn't know the first thing about. How? Why? Even when a huge serpentine piece of the cloak snared him, he didn't appear scared. It was more like he was waiting for it. Somehow prepared for what was to happen. And his eyes, I'll never forget them. They glare with a defiance like I've never seen. At first it didn't seem to matter when the creature reacted, swallowing the old man whole. The Count never flinched, not a goddamn muscle. The mutated cloak just sat there, frozen like a giant cobra. I thought that was it. I didn't notice the first convulsion, but each one after that grew more intensely violent. Its thrashing became a blur before it ended its own pain by vomiting up what was poisoning it, the Count. He rolled around a bit after the unholy abortion, then let fly a stream of dialect not from this planet. And it's not from this planet, guys. I have no idea what that says. What happened next, I don't remember, except that it felt as if a herd of animals was being stuffed inside me. He told me afterwards I was unconscious for only a few seconds. That was good, he said. Come on, boy. Capture it. Control it. Harness its power. You must. If any of us are going to live through this, you have to learn how to cage the demons. More riddles. As the pain passed, my confusion didn't. But it wasn't the time for questions. That could wait. I needed something more important. Help me. Please. I've been trying, Al. Don't you understand? Why do you think I'm here? Because of you. My appearance here isn't an accident. Neither is yours. We need each other. So do our souls. They're hiding something. I know they are. I can see it in his face. If I've got a problem, why don't they just spit it out? All this waiting is killing me. I'd rather have bad news than no news. Mm-hmm. Tap, tap, tap. I've got to get out of here. This is crazy. I'm perfectly fine. They said this happens to everyone, so I should just go. That's it. I'm out of here. Well, Mr. Fitzgerald, your chart appears to be in order. Looks like Dr. Bucino just wants me to run some standard tests. Nothing to get excited about. I'm dying. That'd be fine. That'd be fine. Whatever you need, Doctor.
Please, Mr. Fitzgerald, it's okay to be a little anxious. Most patients are the first time. Come, let me show you what we'll be looking at in your CT scan. Here's an X-ray of a typical brain. Each area serves a specific need, such as motor skills, thought processes. What we're trying to determine is if there is a relationship between your recent blackout and the cold you had. See, some viruses trigger certain chemical reactions in our bodies. Yours may have somehow blocked some nerve impulses from doing their job. It'll show up as a cloudy area, like this. We need your scans to make any sort of judgment. So if you'll follow me, the lab is now ready for you. We'll have all the results back in a few days. A few days? I've already lied to Wanda about all this, hoping it'd just blow over. Now I have to keep this up some more. No, I'm sorry, Wanda. He's in a meeting. He should be back in a couple hours. I'll tell him you phoned. Thanks, Julia. That's strange. You never mentioned a meeting this morning. New York City, the concrete jungle. Within the jungle now lurks the beast. He's made it. After a journey of nearly a month, he now smells the stench of man. But it's one in particular whose blood he seeks. Simone's. It's been a hell of a week for Terry. Two security systems overhauled. Dozens of interlaced phone conversations, anxiety over test results, and all the while reconstructing Jason Wynn's murder conspiracy against him. The only thing I can't figure is why he transferred me to his office after the whole incident blew over. He certainly knows I don't have any power over him. Well, whatever he's planning, it's about to get clipped. I just wish I didn't feel so tired. Now's not the time to feel weak. I'm about to walk into the middle of a minefield. The world begins to spin as his mind wanders. Images distort. He blinks frantically, trying to regain his focus. It only gets worse. Then it stops, leaving him in total darkness. Goom! Honk! Honk, 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 honk! Crash! Bam! Ski! The car jerks as he slumps against the steering wheel. Try that one again. The car jerks as he slumps across the steering wheel. It's his second blackout in 7 days. Holy shit! Leaving him completely at the mercy of others. What? He tries to react. Too late. Crash! Then all goes dark again. Can you believe our luck, Twitch? A burger world so close to our new office. The gods are definitely sending us a message, sir. Sir?
Oh, the belly buster with extra cheese. Slurp.
As the detectives prepare to leave.
Oh, no! Bang!
Cover me, sir. I think it came from the building front.
Whoa, easy, boy. Put that gun away now. It's just a car. It blew a rod or something. You've been edgy lately. What's up?
I don't know. Maybe it's that file someone dropped off. I keep thinking we're being watched. Jesus, what do we do now? You've already spent all your money on the office. Tink, tink.
Not all of it. I've got a little surprise coming.
Bring, bring.
Hello?
This is Sergeant Fritch of the New York City Police, ma'am. Are you Wanda Blake, Terry Fitzgerald's wife?
Yes, why? What's wrong?
I'm sorry, ma'am, but your husband's been in an accident. It's pretty bad. He was rushed to St. Luke's Hospital about 20 minutes ago. You may want to... Hello? Hello, ma'am?
Of course, look at her eye. Clunk, clatter.
Yeah, she just drops and runs.
Issue 50, June 96, Choices Part 1.
Special cover to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Spawn. Or the 50th
anniversary. Woo, that'd be... I don't even think Todd McFarlane's on that one yet.
The 50th issue of Spawn. At first, he thought it was just a simple cold. Soon it developed into severe hacking. Neither seemed out of the ordinary. Why would they? Then came dizziness, followed by a fainting spell. That's when he started to get anxious. His family doctor sent him to a specialist. That was a week ago. No one knew. Not his employer, his friends, or his own family. On his drive home tonight, Terry Fitzgerald experienced a second blackout. He was at his desk for the first one. This time he wasn't as lucky. It was traveling at 40 miles per hour when the oncoming truck tried to brake. There wasn't time. The delivery truck collided with Terry head on. Smoke from the wreckage rose high into the evening sky by the time an ambulance arrived, signaling to the surrounding blocks that another tragedy of man's making had occurred. Slam! Nurse! A pedestrian found his wallet a couple of yards from the car. It gave police a name they could track. Within minutes, they had a list of numbers to call. I've got a neck fracture with multiple contusions on the chest. Excuse me, that's not how you say that. I've got a neck fracture with multiple contusions on the chest and legs. Heartbeat is stable at 72. Blood pressure 120 over 80. His loved ones would need to know. Wanda, especially his wife. She knew something was terribly wrong the moment she received the call. Get to the hospital! That's all she needed to hear. Screech! After leaving Cyan, her daughter, with the neighbors, she raced frantically to St. Luke's Medical Center. Though she drove courteously, a dozen laws were broken. She didn't care. Miss, may I help you? Yes, they brought my husband in. Terry Fitzgerald, about 20 minutes ago. He'd been in a car accident? Is he down this hall? Let me check for you. A quick call later. Second floor, he's still in x-ray. Won't be out for another half hour. You can... She doesn't need to hear any more. So, all in all, it appears your husband was very fortunate this time. His sprained ankle should be fine in a few days, but the neck brace would need to stay on for a while. Your car's seatbelt and airbag just did both of you a huge favor. Anything else, Dr. Curtis? Not really, but since this is the second blackout... Second? I've put a rush request on the results of that CAT scan Dr. Rollins did last week. Issue 49, Tom. Oh! What tests? When did you... You see, Wanda, I didn't want you to get worried about a little testing. I'm a dead duck. You know me, always looking out for your best interests. I know how kooky you can get. Kooky? Excuse me, folks, I didn't mean to start anything. What's important right now is trying to figure out why the blackouts are happening. I'll take a look at the x-rays as soon as they come in from Dr. Rowland's office. Meanwhile, I need to keep you overnight for observation. It's standard procedure for accident victims. Want to make sure there isn't any internal hemorrhaging. So I'll see you both tomorrow before checkout. Listen, honey, I'm sorry I overreacted, but the whole drive over here I couldn't stop worrying what might have happened to you. I was so scared. Really scared. I know. I should have told you sooner about my fainting spell. It's just that I was scared. It's just that I was scared, too. Still am. Of what the tests might say. Forgive me? She always has. Somewhere in the shadows. Your recent separation from the symbiote has accelerated its evolution without any guidance from you. This is a very serious problem. You see, right now the costume is running in all directions at once. It's lost, and like anything else that becomes lost, it wants to return home. To hell. Excuse me. To hell. Precisely. And since you're attached to it, you're going along for the ride. So what can I do? Oh. So there's a little more here. It's reconfiguring itself at a tremendous rate. Usually the metamorphosis takes years to complete, and that's only if the costume and its host are in sync, which you two definitely aren't. And then he talks about the separation and all that, and how it wants to return to hell. So what can I do? Don't trigger it. It feeds off you. You're evil. When it can't drain from you, the worms become the catalyst. So now I'm made of evil. Not exactly, Al. But your anger, evil, and sin come in many forms. Yet anger is the ultimate pipeline. Nothing good has ever come from rage. You've been mad since your rebirth. Almost constantly. That's what's feeding it. You have to let it go. Whatever is festering inside you, let it go. Please, for all of us, find some inner peace. Just let the anger die. Before you leave, Cog, I have to know something. Who are you? A reflection of you. We're both the same, Al. We both used to be real, a lifetime ago. In short, I'm a spawn. Cyan, no! Come on now, Mommy doesn't want you throwing your food all over the place, okay? Uh-oh, mess, Mommy, mess. You're right. It's a big mess. Pardon. Let's get down now and get dressed. We have to go pick up Daddy. He gets to come home today and play with you. Won't that be fun, you and Daddy? Hold still. I need to clean your face. As they leave the house, Juana is absolutely beaming. Boundless joy informs her very being. Birds, the sky, everything seems so wonderful. She thanks God for answering her prayers. Dad, Dad, Dad! I think she's more excited about your new room here than anything else. Push, please. It's like, push. I don't know what to say. Push, please, or something. Okay, just take it easy on me, sweetheart. Hello, folks. Hey, Doc. You gonna sign me out so I can go home now? I'm afraid not, Terry. We have a problem. A very serious one. Your test results came in from Dr. Rowland's office. The scans indicate a rather large growth on your brain. It's a cancerous tumor. It can't be! You're kidding, right, Doc? I wish I was. Your x-rays show the tumor near the base of the skull. It's already the size of an orange, but that will soon change. What are you saying? Can't you just operate on it? Take it out? That's what we're trying to determine. Unfortunately, it's shown up in an area that usually indicates an attachment. If the tumor is malignant, damage to your brain would occur if we were to operate. So what are my options? Let us run some tests on you. Do a biopsy to determine its rate of growth and whether it's malignant. Daddy, go home. If it is, we'll deal with that later. 20 hours and a battery of tests later. You see this cloudy area? It represents the cancer. When you had your cold, a virus entered your system. Usually the body combats a virus with a number of different defenses. But as your cold got worse, it developed into an early stage of pneumonia. As the virus grew stronger, it triggered the latent cells of the cancer to grow. Meaning you've always had this in you, just in a dormant state. You, like millions of others, were probably born with it. Unfortunately, its positioning makes it impossible for us to operate, to remove it at all. I'd have to remove part of the brain, too. This is compounded by the fact that the tumor is malignant. Malignant. Terry squeezes Wanda even harder. So it'd just grow back, even if you could remove it. Yes. Meaning I'm going to die. Isn't that right, Doctor? How much time do I have? At its current rate of growth, about 2 months, but there's a series of procedures that can slow the spread of it. While arranging for Cyan to stay with close friends, Wanda tells him that she needs some time alone to sort things out. Her friends pry no further as she musters a weak smile, saying she'll be all right before leaving. Her guard goes down the moment she arrives home. So does she. Days later, Granny? Al, you back so soon? I thought you would. Now come into the light so I can see you better. See? But I thought you were blind? I am. It was just a joke, Al. You've become so serious since you moved to heaven. Remember how you used to make me laugh? I do. I miss that part of you. Why has that disappeared? I don't know, but that's part of why I'm here. A friend told me to find inner peace, something calming. You always gave me those feelings when I was alive. I see now I took that for granted. We all do that, child. It's part of being human. If I can help bring your laughter and make my day, it's too easy to forget what's really important in life. So I'd like to ask you a favor. Could you go see Terry? Give him some hope for tomorrow? Terry? Yeah. Things have really been rough on him and Wanda since he got sick. The doctors say, oh, listen to me. You're an angel. You probably already know why he's dying. What did you say? Later that week. Sure, the doctors say your medication is helping control the swelling a bit.
Isn't that great?
Sure, but the side effects are screwing up the rest of your body. You have to fight it, baby. Don't give in. Not now. I need you too much. So does Cyan. Tell Cyan I miss her. I love her. And you. Maybe if I'd been a better husband, none of this would... Hush, you didn't have control over this. It isn't your fault. Wanda stays at his bedside as much as she can, trying to keep his spirits up with each visit. Many times the nurses just let her stay through the night. Exhausted this night as well, she sleeps unaware of the sentinel beside her. Terry used to be his best friend, but no more. Since coming back from the dead as a hellspawn, El has discovered his friend's true side, that of a traitor. Terry stole his wife from him, gave her the child he never could, protected the man who ordered his death. Why should he help him, especially now when his symbiote is behaving so erratically? Cog told him to relax, not use his powers, and he won't. Not for him. He's not worth going to hell for. So why did he come? To gloat? And why did he save Terry a while back? Maybe he did want to help, but not to the extent of making that kind of sacrifice. Not for Terry. Confused, he leaves. Something wasn't right, she could tell. The nurses had generally been quite friendly. Why were they looking away from her, avoiding eye contact? Elaine, is something the matter? It came so fast, Wanda, we couldn't stop it. By the time Dr. Curtis got to him... No! No! Terry! Dear God! The web of machinery hooked to her husband paints an ugly picture. It's a life support system, beating rhythmically, helping Terry breathe. Well, what's happening to him? We tried to call, but... I said, what's wrong? A coma. He lost consciousness a few hours ago. We've run a few preliminary scans. It doesn't look good. There's been extensive brain damage. He can't even breathe on his own. Parts of his brain have shut down. They've stopped sending certain messages. There was a lack of oxygen up there for over 2 minutes, which caused most of the damage. I'm truly sorry, Miss Blake, but at this point there's very little we can do. Artificially, we can keep him alive indefinitely if he doesn't worsen. Meaning he'll never come out of this? Not necessarily. But the chance for any normality is gone. If he does wake from this, he won't be the same. Expect limited motor functions, if not paralysis. He won't know his own name. That's not taking into account the cancer, which we can't stop. I'm sorry, Miss Blake. I wish I could be more hopeful. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, Doctor. Can I be alone with him, please? Of course. As the days pass, more details become clear. The sad prognosis does not change. Terry won't see his daughter grow into a woman. Cyan won't ever bounce on her daddy's knee again. At worst, Cyan might not even remember her father when she's older. As for Wanda, she'll not have the chance to grow old with a man she so desperately loves. At the tender age of 29, Wanda, who should be full of life, looking forward to each new day and its endless possibilities, not anymore. For the second time, she will outlive her husband, one killed in the line of duty 5 years ago, and now another being eaten alive by cancer. So she retreats inward, shutting herself off from everything, everyone. From everything. Excuse me, everyone. It's the only way she has to handle her pain, to become completely numb to it all. Just like him, he's lost the precious things too. He tortures himself constantly with his unrealistic hopes that he can get her back again. It's all that's left, false hope, and a love that's never waned. That love has to become a curse, because he promised her on their honeymoon to always keep her happy, forever. He still remembers the tears in her eyes and the love she gave him. The one word continues to haunt him. Forever. 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 I promised you, Wanda. Even if it costs him all his remaining hope. As the first jolt is unleashed, he tells himself this isn't about Terry. It's about Wanda. Terry's body arches against the pain. A spastic finger catches the lacing that holds Spawn's face together. Spawn barely notices. He's thinking about his life. His wife. They'll never be together again. So all that matters is her happiness and his promise. Al? It's time. He let her go. It's time he let her go. I used to be. He hesitates and hears the word again. Forever. Then he's gone. Vanished to God only knows where. Ugh. Help. Help me. Those screams. Oh no, I've got a flatline in room 207. Code blue. Elaine, grab a crash cart and come with me. Stat. They've been trained for every situation possible, these nurses. Or so they think. Help! Please, can somebody help my wife? I think she's fainted. The staff will search for answers to this miraculous event. They won't find any clues. 50, June 96. Choices, part 2. So this was a big two-part issue. Destiny. Some believe that from their first moment of existence, life as they know it has been preordained. That eternity is controlled by forces too great for humans to ever understand. They are wrong.
We think as we do, act as we do as a result of what lies within. A seed has been planted in each of us. How it will grow depends on the individual. The seed is called a soul. Though the body eventually dies, the soul moves on. Its essence is the true value of each of us, an essence measured by the soul's original potential and its resulting condition after a lifetime of individual choice. That value is what the lords of the afterlife are most interested in. At death, each being makes the same voyage with fragmented memories spinning in the void. Those scattered impressions shine like beacons, sending an undoctored resume of that individual. It's from this information that we are dealt our final judgment, our destiny. There are only two possible outcomes, heaven or hell. By this point, we are looked upon, not as what we were at death, but as what we may yet become, in terms of both good and evil. With heaven and hell alternating choices from an endless pool of humanity. The picks are based on performance expectations. Getting to heaven does not indicate a spirit's goodness any more than a sentence to hell means there is an evilness. Sometimes the decision is made strictly to prevent the other side from acquiring another valuable property. It's up to God, or Satan, to exploit each individual's strengths, or weaknesses. For hell, the two easiest are always revenge or love. It's the latter that damned Al Simmons. Dreaming of what might have been and what might yet be. Oh, hold on, guys. I forgot the top text. Deep in Manhattan's Bowery, it stirs. Zzz. Dreaming of what might have been and what might yet be. If the balance of things were to slip ever so slightly. Plop! What? It takes a few seconds for the facts to garner a response. Holy herpy, he's gone! And he did it to himself, the doofus. Meow! For months now, the clown has been trying to prove to his hellish former master that the new spawn, like all the others, is unworthy of such vast power. The proper leaders of Hell's army, he contends, are those born and bred in the Black Abyss. Now his point has been validated. For centuries, this creature, once honored with the task of chaperoning each of Malbolge's new hellspawn, has dreamt of this moment. Frolicking with soiled discards and rotted garbage, his celebration reaches fever pitch. Then comes a thought, and with it, the loss of any joy. Wait a minute, Simmons is back in hell, but I didn't put him there. He screwed himself up like a lot of the others did, so Malbolge would just find another in a century or two. Crap, it's not what I wanted. He needs to see that no human should ever be chosen again. It's his own children who should lead. We are the true evil. I need to prove that to him, once and for all. And I know just where to start. A few days later. Afternoon, Mrs. Blake. Hello, Doctor. You said you wanted to see me. Yes, I just received the results of the latest test, and to be quite honest, this whole situation has everyone quite stumped. There's no more evidence of cancer anywhere in his body. As a matter of fact, the area of his head which was affected is cleaner than normal. We've run every diagnostic I can think of. Each result is negative. So what does that mean? Call it a miracle, but Terry is 100% cured, so unless either one of you has any objections, I'm releasing him tomorrow. It's time he went home to his family. Thank you, Doctor, and if you don't mind, I'd like to tell him myself. Of course. The drive home found them with little to say, and as Terry wiped a few tears from his wife's cheek, the two of them fell silent. Loving glances spoke for them, of awe and relief, and the certainty that being with each other means more than anything. Cyan's going to be so happy to see her daddy back home. Just knowing I'll get to see her pretty face as she grows up, and yours as we get older, makes anything I'll have to bear from now on seem easy. I can't believe how good she behaved at the hospital each time. She sure... Click! Surprise! Friends. A throng of people who never believed a word of the murder accusations gathered now to welcome him home. Terry looks at each of them and smiles. He'll never again take true friendship for granted. Terry goes on grinning broadly for the rest of the evening. He makes sure Cyan doesn't feel forgotten by riding her on his shoulders most of the time. And even while involved in conversations with everyone in reach, he can't seem to stop gazing at just one sight, his wife. Hours later, he falls into a deep sleep. Being in his own bed brings a certain comfort, the security, to relax. And dream about people and things. Things haunting. Things familiar. The dream repeats itself over and over. Al!
You know, the real weird thing about all this is that I felt some sort of presence over me back at the hospital. You mean God? No, at least I don't think so. It was more like, oh, forget it, I'm just rambling. No, you're not. I know who it was because I sent him myself. It was Al.
What did you say?
Sure, when I heard you'd been hurt, I asked him to help if he could. They call what happened to you a miracle. They're right. Al somehow gave you your life back. You remember that. But it's kind of funny, you know.
What is?
Well, Al, he seemed so tortured about his new existence that he wasn't worthy of his powers. I can't even imagine what it's like being one of God's chosen angels, but he proved himself by helping you. With all concept of time obliterated, Spawn's ethereal presence breaks the black evil.
A year? A day? A second?
No one knows how much time the soul's transition takes, but death makes it inevitable. At that point, there is one rule adhered to by both sides. Those souls who shall return to the afterlife past the initial entry will forever be reprimanded to their first lord. In short, Spawn has returned to hell. To complete the odyssey, his spirit nestles once more in the form it inhabited most recently. Though he doesn't recall the events following his first death, what he sees appears unfamiliar. It is. Stretched now before him is a vast wasteland, Hell's second level. As a former visitor to another higher level, his presence is acknowledged immediately. An enemy has trespassed in their sacred lands. They appear out of nowhere. Gnats! That gaping wound in his face, no longer tied shut, allows them to dig deeply. While he's distracted, the ground itself joins the fray, swallowing one leg and holding in a death grip. It's only the start.
Nectar!
Another wave converges, screaming past the cloaked hero. Suddenly, they snatch a few of his cape's tendrils. Their attack is far from random, he realizes. Then, burrowing underground, the leathery creatures disappear. The Hellspawn is now pulled taut as a state tent. Intruders will not be permitted, even those from other levels.
Nectar! 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 Nectar!
The unholy laws require the strains remain pure. Hybrids will only destroy their utopia. Yet, without the hybrids, they cannot live. And so the intruders that have tried to cross the void into the next level are put to a purpose before they die the death of hell.
Nectar! Nectar!
Insanity spiraling around him, Spawn tries to keep a grip, even as the weight of the demon horde prepares to suffocate him.
Nectar!
They are nowhere. They are everywhere, fighting each other for position.
Nectar!
Through the crack. The small ones get there first. As his vision begins to blur, Al Simmons wonders what he did to deserve this fate, this curse of the Spawn. Was it the killings? He was only following orders, he thinks. Total damnation for any murderer. That's what it must be. So he gives in and goes limp, just as the parched land goes black.
Nectar!
But hell, like heaven, was never meant for man to understand. It's a place of pain. Horror, anguish, far beyond anything possible on Earth.
Nectar me!
Yet, as on Earth, a pecking order has evolved. I actually need some water. Hold on. Guess I can drink this. Yeah. Yeah, hold on. Yeah. I think I'll be okay. Well, hold on. There's another bottle of water in here. A bunch of bottles of water just kind of laying around. Give me a minute to get some water. Woo! Ah, there we go. Much better. I mean, we're almost done. But I have to have at least something. My allergies are really acting up. The eyes are watering and everything. It sucks, but I'm going to fucking power through this. Yet as on Earth, a pecking order has evolved, one predicated on size. Not surprisingly, resentment exists. They found him first, the small ones did. They'll not leave him behind.
Nectar!
A pillar of their remains petrifies in a heartbeat, leaving just an exposed tip. Now fully exposed for the taking, Spawn's head was the ultimate prize, though not him as much as what made him. Necroplasm, concocted an infinity ago at Hell's darkest reaches, it serves many uses on many levels. And Malbolgia's realm, it's what his warriors are made out of. But here, the plasm has another purpose. Food. Without trespassers to feast on, the inhabitants would have perished long ago. So each victim became their vital nourishment. Their calories, their juices, their sweet nectar. That's why they're saying NECTAR! Spawn will have none of it. If he is to die here, then he means to take as many of them with him as possible. Green energy cackles. Since he's a prisoner of hell, what does Spawn care about conserving his powers any longer? For 100 miles, the skies turned green. He thought he'd just give up and die. He changed his mind. Lieutenant Colonel Al Simmons has one more fight left in him. It's his way of exercising his own personal demons. His wife is lost to him, forever. Sheer anger is all that comes from that thought. Prepare, demon, to eat your heart! Adrenaline is triggered, releasing once again the true spirit of the warrior. Braced against petrified debris, he stands ready for attack. Food, that's all Spawn is to the charging monstrosity. Something to feed its cravings, no matter the source. Its own slaves often fit the bill. If you're so goddamn hungry, choke on this! Like some crazed Tarzan.
Okay.
Spawn climbs atop his keel. Frothing at the mouth, he lets rip a noise no human could possibly conceive of. The sound, audible out to the desert, is cut short when the Hellspawn abruptly evaporates. Elsewhere in time. Oh, I get to do Malbolgia. Okay, this is gonna be hard.
Perfect! It went just as I planned. My little Spawn has just picked up the first of his new gifts. Unknowingly, of course. A few more pieces and my Grim Reaper will be ready. Enjoy your next level, Simmons.
Come on, honey. Time to go home. Thank Megan for inviting you to her party. Balloon! Balloon! Okay, go grab one. There you are, dear sweet Cyan. You're funny. Thank you. Bye-bye. I'll see you soon. Okay. Art gallery time. Yeah, very good art. Always amazing art on these books, right? Okay. Yeah, it was the double-sized milestone issue Spawn 50. That makes sense. So there's two artists here. Greg Capullo, of course, and Tony Daniel. And let me say something. This started out boring and got really fucking interesting. Spawn's now, I mean, he I don't think he's in hell. I think he's gone back to Earth, but man, this is some really interesting shit that's going on right now. Cagliostro has finally shown himself as Spawn. I do believe I know who he is. I'm not going to spoil it for those of you that don't want to know. And Spawn's got some new power. Terry is alive. Grandma seems to be clairvoyant and know almost everything. It's really interesting, these characters, you know? Just a really interesting world that Todd McFarlane built. That's why this comic did so well. It had some low points. I mean, Spawn was a little emo at the beginning of this, but he totally, you know, became something new. He had growing pains. How do you control a costume that's made in hell? But, yeah, at any rate, I'm glad to have finally brought the end of this fucking volume to you guys. I'm sorry, I've been coughing, it's been crazy. I've been doing everything I can, to kind of get through this. But it's allergies. It's living out here by this field, and it's the time of year. It's rough. I'll probably have to maybe take some Sudafed or something like that, similar. Remember, I've actually gone into talk to doctors and stuff about it, and they're like, oh yeah, it's allergies. You're going to have to take allergy medicine for this. I'm like, shit, that sucks. You know, I never had to do this stuff until a couple years ago, but I guess that's what happens when you get older. Yeah, so to put the, to make it clear, I'm not sick, but allergies can knock you down, as my doctor told me. So we're gonna fight through it and just deal with it. That's all you can do. But at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time on Grimm's Comics Corner in we're not going, that's not that fucking far. In January of 2024, with a return of our, I think it's Lady Death, Vampirella, and Chastity. I think those, we're definitely working with Chaos Comics, so that's going to be fun. Those are always good. And remember, as we get done with comics, we'll replace them with other comics. Obviously, you guys like Spawn, I'll keep bringing you Spawn. So I'm out. See you next time, comic fans.